If you enjoy podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Medicine in America, hosted by Anthony Manson and Todd Harrington, shares the stories of physicians, other healthcare professionals, and industry leaders who are changing the way we deliver care. There's an episode that you should check out called Primary Care Reimagined with Subscription-Based Preventative Care Model. It's an inspiring call for a paradigm shift in primary care. All of their episodes highlight innovative ideas at the forefront of the movement to transform our healthcare system. Check out Medicine in America on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to the On the Road to the Gambia podcast, where we are bridging boundaries for global health equity. I am Dr. Carol Penn, doubly board certified in family medicine and obesity medicine. I am a best-selling author and a master meditation, movement, and mindset coach, serving as the director of Tracks and Electives, assistant professor of family medicine at our nation's newest medical school, Rocky Vista University, Montana College of Osteopathic Medicine. I am the proud co-founder of the Institute for Community Evolution. Together with Sunu Ryu, the University of the Gambia, Penn Global Visions, and the Edward Francis Smalls Teaching Hospital, we are fostering a new era of global healthcare collaboration. I'm excited to bring you the amazing stories of 15 clinicians from the U.S. who will travel to the Gambia and exchange cutting-edge knowledge with Gambian medical professionals to uplift communities and empower each other to become compassionate and culturally sensitive healthcare leaders on both sides of the Atlantic. So put on your headphones and listen as we explore this transformative journey to the Gambia.
Hello and welcome to On the Road to Gambia podcast, bridging boundaries for global health equity. So I am your host of this podcast. I am Dr. Lisa Herbert. I am a board certified family physician, best-selling author, speaker, and executive leadership coach. And I'm excited to bring you this podcast, which is highlighting the steps of 15 clinicians from the United States who are traveling to the Gambia and embarking on a transformative journey with the Institute for Community Evolution's the Gambia Collaborative Project, together with SUNY Ru, University of the Gambia, Penn Global Visions, and the Edward Francis Smalls Teaching Hospital to foster a new era of global healthcare collaboration. This cross-oceanic exchange between African-American physicians and Gambian medical professionals was born to ensure equal access to medical education on both sides of the Atlantic, to equip future doctors in the Gambia and in the United States with cutting-edge knowledge, and to empower medical students, residents, and faculty in the Gambia to become compassionate and culturally sensitive healthcare leaders to uplift their communities. So today, I am excited to have with us Dr. Carol Penn, who is the co-founder of this amazing journey that we're all about to embark upon, the collaborative, the Gambia Collaborative Project. So Dr. Carol, welcome to the podcast, and I'm excited to have this conversation that I know is going to be wonderful today and find out all about the happenings in the Gambia that we're all going to see unfold.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Lisa. I am thrilled and excited to be here and excited to tell this story and share with you and the world, all of our listeners, which could be anywhere in the world, literally, and that's exciting through technology, what this is all about and the opportunity to travel with some outstanding clinicians, medical practitioners, servant leaders, physician thought leaders that are going to be going with us on this exploratory journey.
Yes. So, you know, before we get into questions, I just want everyone to know who Dr. Carol Penn is. So you have to tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, what you do, and then just bring us into this world of how this amazing project just came to be.
Absolutely. So Dr. Carol Penn, triply board certified in family medicine, obesity medicine, and osteopathic manipulative medicine. I'm a best-selling author, international speaker, and mindset movement meditation coach extraordinaire. I'm also the director of tracks and electives, assistant professor of family medicine at Rocky Vista University, Montana School of Osteopathic medicine, excuse me. And I'm so happy that this is one of our nation's newest medical schools, and it is beautiful. And we just started our first class of 80 medical students on their journey to becoming the next servant leaders in medicine.
That is wonderful. So Dr. Carol, you are, wherever there's something new going on, I just kind of feel like you are there. New medical school, new project in the Gambia. Like, I'm just excited for whatever else is to come. But tell us a little bit about, you know, your career journey. I mean, it's just amazing all the things that you have accomplished. So thinking back to your career journey, your leadership journey, who or what may have been instrumental in that decision?
Well, I'll loop back, because the first question was, you know, how did we come to the Gambia? You know, why the Gambia? And then I'll loop it back into my career journey. So
absolutely.
This really started with a request, as in, Dr. Carol, are you interested in going to the Gambia? And that has a backstory to it, in that a beautiful, beautiful woman named Victoria Ejeket-Pidie, a Gambian woman, was my husband's occupational therapist. He had had an ankle replacement. I answered the door. A therapist was to come to our home to help him learn how to walk again. And when I answered the door, there was this beautiful woman standing in my doorway, and she introduced herself as my husband's occupational therapist. And over time, we got to be friends, and I found out that she was a Gambian woman and got to meet her family. She became a coaching client of mine and was going back and forth between her home in Philadelphia and to visit family in the Gambia. And on one of her return trips, she said, you know, my mother charged me with something, and I wasn't sure how or where my help was going to come from, but she reminded me that my grandfather was one of the founding doctors to teach at the, what was then the Royal Victoria Hospital, which is now the Edward Francis Small Teaching Hospital. And this little hospital, this one little public hospital and teaching hospital in the Gambia, was in trouble and it needed help. And her mother had decided, because after all, the hospital was part of her medical legacy and her family legacy, that Victoria was going to be the one to help the hospital.
And Victoria was voluntold.
It was mama. She was voluntold and mama told. And Victoria was like, oh my God, but you know, mom, I'm not a doctor. I'm an occupational therapist. And she said, well, you know, your aunt started their department of physical therapy. Never mind that you're not a doctor. You're not this, you're not that. Well, I didn't ask you what you were. I just told you what I needed you to do. And she reached out to me. And interestingly enough, I did have a love affair with that part of the world, because in 1993, in my other life as a dancer, I had the opportunity to tour in Senegal. And if you know that topography, Gambia actually sits inside of Senegal, right on the western coast of Africa. And I said yes without even hesitating. Mm. And we did a little exploratory journey, four of us, last year, to see the feasibility, to meet the people at the hospital. And sure enough, the love affair continues. And I'm just incredulous that we're going back this year. And so we go from a small little group of four to now this extraordinary group of 15, 16 that are going.
Wow. So from a chance meeting.
From a chance meeting. Oh, I mean, serendipity. Some of the best things in my life have happened by serendipity. And it's interesting because you asked me, well, how do I find myself here and what was my journey? Well, before I was Dr. Carol, I was Dancer Carol. I was a professional dancer and choreographer, had the great pleasure of training at the world-renowned Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater in New York City, and from there went on to the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, where I was a consultant for over 10 years, developing programs in dance for children and adults living with disabilities. And I got to tour the world doing that. And I had my own dance company. And I also had a dream that, like becoming a dancer, was planted in childhood. And that dream was that I'd be both the dancer and the doctor. And the little girl in me said, well, you're going to be the dancer first because you'll get too old to dance, but you're never too old to be a doctor. So, in some ways, I think the 5-year-old is still running the show, that curious, joyful little person who initially spent the first part of my life embracing the world through the joy of movement and artistic expression. And now I find myself expressing the artistry of medicine through my love of humanity and the sciences.
Oh, I love that artistry of medicine because it is an art.
Yes, it is. Yes, it absolutely is. There's, what it says in the book, and there's the algorithm, and then there's that human being in front of you that you have to have that in the background, but you have to really see who is there, who am I treating, who am I collaborating with, who am I engaging, and create that doctor-patient relationship to serve that person, that individual. Then you have to do that with the next, the next, the next. You know, it's so different for each person that we encounter.
So that's a beautiful story of just a chance meeting between, you and Victoria. And I've had a chance to meet Victoria, and she's such a lovely individual and just so kind-hearted. And you can tell her love for her country and how she really wants to help the people of Gambia. So, what inspired you to want to kind of join forces with her and volunteer your time, really, to kind of, give back?
Well, some of the best relationships in life, whether, and we see this in business, where the big business deal made, they're not necessarily made in the boardroom, but they're made out of friendship on the tennis court or on the golf cart. Golf, what am I trying to say? And, they're made out of club or something like that. So it's, there's the functionality of the business relationship, but there's that trust factor. And by the time Victoria came to me and asked me if I was interested, that trust had already formed. There was a friendship there. There was, I had no reason not to trust this woman, not to want to hear more and know more. And it was also coinciding with the fact that, that day and stage of everyday mothering and parenting had passed me by. It's like now 19-year-olds and 28-year-olds and, grown people around me. And I really felt the call to go back into the world. And then coincidentally, we're living through a pandemic. And I'm looking at what the world is becoming, and I'm not so happy with what the world is becoming. And I know that there's need everywhere. And I felt the need and the calling to look into my own heritage. And there was, of course, all the injustices that we were seeing in our own country. And I said, sometimes you have to think outside the box. You have to look over there in order to solve what's going on over here. And then you also have to develop that skill set to take that deep look inside and say, what is my soul calling for? What is my heart calling for? And I was doing both simultaneously, struggling with my disappointment and what I saw going on in the United States with the not closing the gap in the despair, but the widening gap in the disparities, yes. And feeling that I wanted to both nurture and settle my soul while giving back. And again, seeing stepping out, stepping across, and then looking back. So what can I learn over there that is going to help solve the problems back here at home? And seeing this exchange as possible and bi-directional, and also at the same time, honoring and rediscovering that aspect of my ancestry that ties to the continent of Africa, that ties me to those stories, that ties me to the Middle Passage, and really wanting to dismantle that whole piece and then come up with a new normal that I could offer the world.
Absolutely. I think we're all overdue for a new normal.
Yes, yes.
So this is going to be great. And, you know, when you think about, you know, your background and, you know, it spans from dancing, you know, to medicine, to everything in between. What skills, what expertise would you like to bring to the Gambia that you hope will make an impact there?
Stay right there and we will be back with my amazing guests. This conversation is so good that you don't want to miss it. So stay tuned.
Well, what I'm hoping to really make an impact, again, this is bi-directional. So I have cultivated and honed my skills as a listener. Mm-hmm. And I honed and cultivated those skills first as a performing artist. You have to be able to listen to your audience, to relate to your audience, to transform and mobilize your emotions that allows the audience to have their emotions mobilized and transformed. So that's a very special relationship. And it's not unlike the doctor-patient relationship, yeah, where healing takes place not by what you write on the prescription pad, but it is by who you are being in the encounter. Mm-hmm. It is being able to listen to your patient into life and well-being, be able to listen your patient into hopefulness and collaboration. And so that's a real art and a real skill. It's both an art and a skill. So I think I bring that in my relationships to listening to the administration of the Edward Francis Small Teaching Hospital, listening to their staff, listening to their faculty, and listening to their patients. What are they needing? What are they learning for? And I know that that's also a transformative process. So while I'm listening and offering, this is what I have to offer, this is my perspective, my education, I'm also being changed in the process because they have something to offer me as well in terms of their skill set. Because my goodness, they have managed to survive and treat the people of their country well before they knew anything about a Dr. Carol. So,
right.
But you know, what are their gifts as well? So it's definitely going to be very bi-directional. And I think that deep listening skill is, I hope, not only something that I'll be bringing, but something that all of the physicians that are going will be bringing. We've all been trained how to listen in our medical education and in our experiences in residency and then as our experiences as attendings. And I think the best doctors are also the best listeners.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when you think about the Gambia in terms of what's going on now, you know, in their realm of, you know, medical education, but also just access to medical care, you know, you've been to the Gambia before and now you're sort of returning. Tell us a little bit about what it's like. What's your awareness, you know, that you've come to know about what's needed there or what's kind of going on that the rest of us, you know, may want to have a little knowledge about or that you'd like to share with us?
Well, it's really interesting because they are being challenged by the same non-communicable diseases that we're being challenged by. So they are experiencing the threat of unhealthy obesity. They're experiencing the threat of increasing heart disease, coronary artery disease, stroke, embolism. They are experiencing increasing levels of diabetes and hypertension. So some of those same diseases of lifestyle that are plaguing us here in the United States are really beginning to take a toll on the Gambia and the Gambia healthcare system. Now, of course, they also have the tropical diseases. They have to struggle with and combat a different variety of lower respiratory illnesses. We'll also be taking a look at that. However, I think the real strength in the bidirectionality of the project is going to be in looking at these non-communicable diseases and really looking at what lifestyle medicine can bring to the table on both sides of the ocean.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's fascinating because, I mean, you've just brought up, you know, three or four diseases that are common, right, to two very different countries.
Yes.
With different resources, right? One who's heavily resourced and another who isn't so, you know, heavily resourced, but still fighting and combating, you know, those same diseases. So for us to be able to find some commonality in, you know, maybe how we can address those, I think it's going to be, you know, hopefully life-changing.
Absolutely. And I think it's so important when we look at the social determinants of health. And, you know, one of the things that we look at here, and we're beginning to really see the returns of the research, is food as medicine. Mm-hmm. And nutrition and food deserts and low access to, you know, healthy foods and whatnot, and fresh fruits and vegetables. And it's very interesting, as we see the standard American diet exported around the world, we also see the disease pattern that results from that.
Yes.
Going around the world as well. And this is one of the public health conversations that we have to make large and come alive in communities here in the United States, as well as what's going on in the Gambia. Because if people are educated, if they know, okay, well, you know, I have so much money to purchase food, and I've got a choice. I've got this or I've got this. Which is the food choice that's filled with the empty calories? What is the food choice that has higher nutritional value? They both cost the same thing. Oh, let me choose the one that has the higher nutritional value. However, you have to know to do that. You have to know to make choice.
Right.
I think, you know, that's part of the education that needs to go on both sides of the Atlantic. And, you know, even in the most challenging of circumstances, oftentimes there is a choice. And when there is a choice, can you make the better choice?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So looking at, you know, everything that we would like to bring to the Gambia and certainly learn, you know, from them as well, what are your hopes or your visions for what would be maybe short-term and long-term positive developments that we would be able to leave and bring an impact or make an impact on the Gambia community?
Well, I hope the long-term development, and I'm glad you're asking about long-term, because we want this to be a project that goes beyond being a project, that this becomes a part of an exchange. And, you know, this is something that I'm hoping will happen with the Montana School of Osteopathic Medicine, where we're sending students there. And we are hosting Gambian medical students here, where, again, opening the minds of these future healthcare professionals that are going to be taking care of so many people and really making them culturally competent. And that's a long term. That's going to take a while for that to happen. But in the short term, in this next trip, hoping to continue to lay foundations, opening up the conversation, introducing the principles of lifestyle medicine, introducing principles of functional medicine, in other words, sustainable medicine, people-centered medicine, asset-centered medicine, wellness and vitality-centered medicine versus a disease-based model. So that's what I'm looking for in this short term. Let's lay those foundations for that. Because again, what's sustainable medicine, and it certainly isn't medicine that continues to cost more and more money, that's dependent more and more on fancy technology.
Yeah.
We have to have medicine that at its center holds the heart of humanity.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us a little bit about, you know, again, so you've been to the Gambia before and had some exposure, you know, to the medical community there. Tell us a little bit about your experience with their medicine practitioners over in the Gambia. You know, were you exposed to those, you know, different types of healers, and sort of what did you learn about them? And then how do you hope maybe that, you know, once we go over to be able to utilize some of that knowledge as well?
Well, while I was there in the Gambia, of course, at the university and at the public teaching hospital, you're exposed to Western medicine. Many, many, many of the doctors there are British trained. Their system, they were colonized by the British, so their education is based on the British system. You have doctors there educated in Spain, in Germany, a multiple of European countries, you know, including, I was just thinking that some people that were educated in the Ukraine, and of course, we know what's going on in the Ukraine right now, but Saman in our conversation just now. So you have that European model, and then yes, there are traditional healers there. I did have the opportunity to converse, and we're hoping to go back to this place called Mbola, which is a wonderful association that's dedicated to sustainability. And on the one hand, the founder is, he's a brilliant engineer, again, educated in Europe, but he is also the grandson of a traditional healer. And his grandfather chose him to pass on the information regarding the natural plants and herbs and the medicinal values of the trees, the plants, the herbs. So he is someone that I hope to spend more time with, because again, he has a foot in both worlds and is brilliant in each, and can tell you what are the medicinal plants and how to use them and how they've been used and passed down over centuries and what use they still might have. And this is a whole area of study.
Absolutely. I was just thinking, but like the light bulb was going off. Yeah,
exactly. This is, you know, even if you were to take and study, you know, one or two plants and really learn what their medicinal values are and how they might be brought into 2023, 2024 sure. to be used for people. And then also to really, I'm hoping we have an opportunity perhaps to go into some of the village or to invite some of the village healers and shaman to come into Banjul, the capital, and sit with us, meet with us, have a round table discussion, and talk about how traditional healing has been handed down over the centuries, you know, how it might be the same, how it might be different, and, you know, where do the system butt heads? And I want to be able to know where the systems can collaborate, because there's so much wisdom to be learned from these wisdom-based traditions. And again, in the scientific community, we're, you know, uncovering more and more evidence about their application and their efficacy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dr. Carol, I am so excited about this collaborative project. I want to thank you for just spending time, you know, filling us in about your background and how this all came to be, and bringing all of us, you know, that are going with you on this trip together, I think was just, you know, amazing. So thank you for all your hard work, for, you know, reaching out, for collaborating, and just making this happen.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lisa. It is my pleasure. I feel my footsteps are being ordered by the God of my understanding, and it's just my soul speaking, right? I've had this wonderful privilege of having not one, but two amazing careers that has allowed me to see and do and touch and be with people that that, you know, I don't know how and where a little girl from Red Bank, New Jersey might have had these experiences otherwise. So in a way, it's the least that I can do to give back and to let these gifts come through me that I have been privileged to have the opportunity to develop.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, just continue following your divine order and allowing, you know, everything that's been opening the doors for you and everything that's been manifesting to continue to happen. Looking forward to spending time with you in the Gambia. And as always, it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, Dr. Lisa. Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening and for allowing us to be a part of your day. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to receive any new episodes as they are released.
Thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to support the Gambia Project, simply go to your browser and type gambiacollaborative.org. That's www.gambiacollaborative.org.
We hope you will join us on the road to the Gambia.
If you enjoyed podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Medicine in America, hosted by Anthony Manson and Todd Harrington, shares the stories of physicians, other healthcare professionals, and industry leaders who are changing the way we deliver care. There's an episode that you should check out called Primary Care Reimagined with Subscription-Based Preventative Care Model. It's an inspiring call for a paradigm shift in primary care. All of their episodes highlight innovative ideas at the forefront of the movement to transform our healthcare system. Check out Medicine in America on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.